Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Episode 228. Today is something I've been meaning to do for a long time. We have, as the podcast grows and time goes on, we gain new listeners, new followers, and not everybody has listened to the old episodes. So today is a re-release, cut-up, edit, you could say, from an old episode that's really, really important to us and a lot of other people. So let's have a day. Welcome into episode 228. As I said in the intro there, this is going to be a re-release episode, and I don't want that to mean that you immediately just say, oh, I'm going to turn it off, I won't listen to this one. You've already given us the click and the download, so you might as well. And I think that this is a really important episode, and Drake and Kevin would echo that as well. We say it several times in here. We've mentioned this episode several times in the past 200 episodes. This will be episode 228, the episode that you're going to hear that we're going to run into and feed you into here is episode just 28, way back in early 2019, May of 2019, over 2 years ago, when we really didn't know what we were doing. And you'll hear that. You'll hear the different quality in the microphones. You'll hear a slightly different cadence. But this early on in the history, the life of Washed Up Walk-Ons, and continues to be one of the most important episodes that we've done. And it was only a year after we had finished officially our football playing days. We all trained for Pro Day through the spring of 2018. And so in May of 2018, for the three of us, Drake, Kevin, and myself, that was when our football careers ended. So this was 1 year post that. And we talk about our mental health and how we dealt with a problem that is really, really prevalent. It's, you know, something that I would say every single college athlete has to deal with at some level, some much more intricate and deep than others. But the issue of finding an identity outside of your sport, because as we all know, pretty much everything in life has a end to it or some kind of conclusion, and sports and an athletic career doesn't evade that system. It is extremely tough to deal with finding yourself, finding who you are as an identity in your post-athletic career, and especially when you play at a level like Division One, like the Iowa Hawkeyes, where for 5 years, Iowa football was our life. We woke up every day and every single thing we did, our diet, our sleep, our energy, even how we structured our school day, was kind of to fit and make our time best available to being the best football players we could be. So when you get shucked out of that, and you now have to live real life and be a adult and just work a job and figure out who you are as a young person in your 20s, there's a lot that comes with that. And so Kevin had been telling his story previous to this episode. He kind of runs through the back end of that, the end of our career, and then runs into kind of the mental side of things that we dealt with afterwards. And Drake and I provide our thoughts as well. So we think this is really important. We have received so much feedback. For those that go back, they find the podcast and then they go back and pick and choose episodes to listen to. This is the one that we always, you know, every couple weeks or so we'll get a message. Hey, just went back and listened to your episode on mental health and depression, and identity. and it really connected with me. And this is something that I've been thinking about doing for a while now, because I think I'd like to pull it back around now, over 3 years later, where we're a little bit more established into our adult lives, and ask Kevin and Drake some of the same questions that bring up the same topics that were discussed here. Because obviously 2 years out now, we have a better grip on maybe who we are and where our life is going. So really hope you enjoy this episode. Even if you've listened to it before, it was probably a year or 2 years ago almost. And I think that everybody can kind of pull something from this. We hope you enjoy. But I think we'll get into it. Kevin, we left off where we were in the back end of our senior season. I don't know where you want to pick it up, but we're in the back end of our senior season, and we're going to the Pinstripe Bowl. And then we're in a transition period really in our life. And so you can kind of take it away. Kevin's going to tell the rest of his story, however long that takes. And then, if you were with us last podcast, which if you weren't, what the fuck were you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? What is wrong with you?
We brought up a very big topic, a big issue, macro issue, of a post collegiate career identity crisis, maybe not crisis, but issues, and that kind of thing. So, Kevin, you can kind of take us in.
Yeah, and I'm kind of gonna include that topic into my story, and you guys feel sure. free to jump in here and there with your experiences. Like, don't feel like you're right. interrupting, because I think it's really lead to a great discussion.
You know, I think you tell your story out, and then me and Drake will give our kind of our versions of our personal situation, struggle dealing with that kind of issue, and then we're gonna go way big towards the end and talk about the broad topic as a whole. So
yeah, for sure.
Let her rip.
All right. So senior year, Pinstripe Bowl. Don't remember it, so not going to talk about it. Senior year ends, and I'm basically left like with this feeling like, what should I do now? I hadn't originally planned on training for Pro Day in the NFL, mostly because I knew it was a long shot at best. Don't get me wrong. Like, I trained my balls off and ended up having a pretty good Pro Day, but
A really good pro day.
Yeah. But you know, the real reason I trained for that spring was pretty much, I was desperately just trying to hang on to like being an athlete, you know, cause kind of like what we started talking about last week, I had defined myself as an athlete since I was in grade school, you know, and each level beyond that, my identity just grew more and more as like, I'm an athlete. And, you know, by the end of it, I'm the captain of a Big Ten football team to the boom, snap of the fingers, now you're done. Like, it's a huge shock to the system. It's a huge shock to your routine and to your psyche when your whole life revolves around a sport and being on a team, and suddenly that ends and you're basically left wondering, like, what do I even do anymore? Like, what's my purpose? Like, who am I if I'm not number 26 for the Hawkeyes? And, you know, to be 100% honest with you guys, like, that's a question that took me a long ass time to answer.
Yeah. I want to jump in real quick, because that, when you said that the other night, that's what hit really hard with me, was for that 4 year period, and especially the period where you're more known to the fan base and your family knows that you're an integral part in the team and you're actually getting reps. I mean, I was fucking, when I would meet new people, most of the conversation, if not all of them, would eventually end up at, oh yeah, I'm the long snapper for the Iowa Hawkeyes. That's who I am. I'm number 97 for the Hawkeyes. Look for me on TV or whatever. Like, that was it. Drake, you were number 45 for the Hawkeyes.
Bro, I never knew anything but number 45 for the Hawkeyes.
Well, to be fair, like, I changed the number like 3 times, but go ahead.
Well, you're right. Okay. I guess by the end of it, I just didn't know what it was like to not be a football player, I guess is what I meant by that statement.
Sorry.
And yeah. Like, it was Kevin, like Kevin said, a shock to the system would be one way to put it. I didn't even have perspective wide enough to think that there was anything after football. I let everybody who had ever said you know, football comes to an end, this, that, and the other. I let it go right over my head because it wasn't my time yet. And then when it was my time, it was, I mean, yeah, it like an identity crisis, to say the least.
And right. Just so think about how many people came back, honorary captains, you know, alumni, they all said it, like, find your identity outside of being a football player because your career as an athlete will end. And, you know,
it's impossible because you want it so bad.
I tried to listen, but, you know, I just kept looking around like I'm Kevin Ward. I play for the Hawkeyes. That's just who I am.
Right. Yeah. So as you continue your story, that was, for me, that's what really resonated was just the association with the number. Like, I was 97. I'm 9'7", boys. Like, that's who I am. 9'7", black and gold. And then all of a sudden it's over, and now Romeo McKnight's 9'7". And then he was gone from the program. So, you know, 9'7", there is no 9'7". Like,
Shields has a 97, bro. It still lives on.
Yeah, it costs $175. People, don't spend your money on it, please. It's not worth anything. Anyway, Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know how much you guys really picked up on it, but I became pretty depressed for a while. And
I didn't pick up on it at all, but maybe I'm just blind.
Yeah, Kluv, I don't know if you noticed, but when we were training for that spring, I was actually going like fucking bonkers, dude, because like we were used to this very regimented lifestyle, like a ton of stuff going on between school and football. Now we're just training for 2 hours a day. Do you not remember how many puzzles I bought and did that spring?
We did a few puzzles.
I 12 puzzles, dude. That's not fucking normal.
No, there were our dining room table turned into the puzzle table. I thought you were just bored, to be honest.
I was just trying to keep my mind occupied. That was it.
Yeah, I guess. And I don't know if you want to keep going in the story to like where you are now, but for me, it was a little easier because literally the night of the bowl game, my current employer, my boss at the CrossFit gym I coach at, hit me up and basically told me about the opportunity that I'm currently taking advantage of. So I had this weird kind of like, oh shit, like I know what I, and it was the exact opportunity that I had wanted, or that I was really dreaming of, to get my foot in the door in the industry that I had become passionate about. And so I had this weird kind of like, I mean, you could literally ask my mom and Lauren. We're sitting in their hotel room that night, and I got this DM from James, my boss, and I was like, holy shit. And I like said it really loud, and they're like, are you okay? Like, what's wrong? And I think why I reacted so such an outburst was that I was aware of this kind of reckoning that we were about to face, and I knew that this opportunity had just saved me from it. I had like a purpose. I got lucky. And I think another thing that helped me was, as I've mentioned before, and it may sound cruel or sad to some fans who consider everybody equal and stuff, but as a specialist, you're kind of in your own world, and let's be honest, you understand that your role on the team, though everyone's role is equally important, in reality you're not. I was never as important as Nate Stanley was to the program. So I was on the bottom end of the totem pole. Now, if you're a senior and you're an older guy, then you have a different kind of worth to the program. But I kind of got used to, as a specialist, not completely identifying as a football player, because in some sense, you're a glorified fan a lot of the time. So I kind of got lucky, but that's kind of where.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You know, you kind of had something to fall back on, for sure. And sure, I wasn't really worried about that, so to speak, as like what I'm going to do next, as like a job or career standpoint, because I knew I could go and be successful really in whatever I decided to. But so yeah, back to my story. Yeah, so we go through pro day. I end up getting one tryout, and you know, then draft day comes and goes. A couple days later, they, you know, get the final notice that, you know, you didn't make the cut, whatever. And so officially retired from football, basically, so to speak. And, you know, then all you guys moved away. And now I'm like really wondering like what to do, like who am I? What the hell is going on? So yeah, that summer I decided to intern with Coach Doyle because, you know, I'd always been interested in strength and conditioning. All three of us went and got an exercise science degree, and honestly, I was just trying desperately to hang on to being like part of a team. You know what I mean? And you know, I love Coach Doyle, and he taught me a ton that summer that I wasn't able to pick up on as a player from a strength and conditioning standpoint. But being that close to the team kind of had the opposite effect that I was hoping it'd have. And it's actually something that it's actually something Coach Doyle warned me about before I even started. You know, he had gone from being a player to a GA for his college team that very next spring. Like, he was living with players and he was coaching them on the field. And he said that can be a very difficult dynamic to work through. And for me, being that close to the team every day just really made me want to be back out there on the field and, you know, during workouts, during lifts, going out and competing with the guys. But now you're stuck standing on the sidelines, and you know, you're basically like on the outside looking in, kind of. And it damn near drove me crazy.
So yeah, I didn't even think about it that way, honestly, until you just said it.
Yeah. So basically that kind of drove me to the point, like, I knew that strength and conditioning wasn't going to be the path for me, at least not for the time. I still love strength and conditioning. I think it's fascinating. I still like program all my workouts and stuff, but I don't know, maybe
Kevin is a strength and conditioning wizard.
Kevin Ward Fitness coming soon.
Yeah, maybe somewhere down the line. We'll see, boys.
We're going to open a gym together, bro. We talked about it all the time.
Dude, we don't own a sick gym. Low key. We don't own a sick
gym. And people would come.
People would come. So
we'd have like three. I mean, we got like 3,500 concurrent listeners, like in the heat of in the dead of the off season right now. They'd all come. Everybody can just come get jacked.
All right. You heard it here first. Kevin Kluber.
Wash up walk-ins. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a sick name.
I just thought of that. You like that?
Yeah, dude.
Let's do it.
Anyway.
So yeah, that was the point that, I'd started looking into jobs with Stryker because we had a bunch of, alumni that ended up going to work for them saying great things. And I started looking more into getting into the med sales industry just to, figure out if that was something I was interested in. And, you know, that's kind of the path I went down. But at the same point, you know, like I was still battling some depression at the time and, you know, just still trying to figure out like, what's my purpose and what's my drive, you know? Drake, I actually remember texting you one time, like, dude, like what gets you out of bed in the morning? And I think it kind of hit you like you didn't really understand the question. I'll never forget what you said. You're like,
my alarm clock.
IDK, dude, man, I was pretty fucking hungry this morning, so I went and got breakfast.
I mean, I'm not very good at talking about emotions and feelings as it is.
No,
and man, thinking back to when you would have asked me that question, dude, I was all fucked up. Who knows what got me out of bed, dude, to be honest. I mean, I was not in a good place in my life for a really long time. So,
Kev,
we were honestly feeling the same shit. I probably was just thinking about a bagel sandwich because that was the only thing that was going to like cheer me up.
I don't want to go anywhere you guys don't want to go, but
everything's on the table, buddy.
So I think you two, just because we're all best friends, and I mean, I don't remember a day we haven't texted each other in that group text for the last 4 years, probably. I probably, out of the three of us, have experienced by far the least amount of actual depression and anxiety, though I do have some natural anxiety that I just kind of brought with me to college before this even was ever a thing. So, but that's honestly, I don't feel like it's anything compared to maybe what you guys have gone through. I know that the injuries for you, Drake, didn't help for sure.
No, not at all.
And then Kevin, what you're currently explaining. So, I'm just curious. This is for me, and hopefully, it produces some eye-opening content.
Yeah, hopefully, people appreciate this.
Well, yeah, and hopefully, I think a lot of days now, mental health is becoming something that people really aren't afraid to talk about anymore. It's really good, because if we want people to stop going into schools and shooting people and killing themselves and stuff like that, like you got to start with talking about it. And how deep, I guess, is this the question, is how would you describe like your deepest like state of depression? Like how bad did it get? What was it like for you? Like, what is that like?
In a word?
Kevin,
in a word?
Yeah. Bad. Well, I mean, just as like, you never,
I know what you're asking. And
yeah. Like, did you ever seriously consider like killing yourself or like, did it get that bad?
The thought went through my mind, I'm not going to lie. I don't think I'd ever would have acted on it, but
yeah. Cause there's obviously like, that's a whole nother thing of like, you know, thinking about the idea of it or something like
did
that.
Did I ever get to like the stage where like, I would think of like, how would I do it? No,
not. Right. But no,
I was very sad for a long time. And you know, the thought comes up, you know, like I, and you know, it's hard to describe the feeling, but I don't know. Yeah. Drake, if you got anything.
See, for me, athletics, the cause of my depression, the root cause of my depression was not the loss of football. So I guess I don't necessarily know what it feels like to just go through the withdrawal of athletics, because to be honest, that was in the rearview mirror very quickly with the passing of my dad. So I don't even know what my, you know, what my mourning the loss of football was like, because it was more like a family tragedy that took over very shortly after. So there was no time to even really think about football. It was just added pain, you know, or added fuel to the fire. So it just, but like Kevin said, I mean, when everything piled on top of each other, it got bad.
Yeah. I think just a common answer, because even for me, in any sort of like, I wouldn't even call it depression, but everybody gets sad sometimes, or everybody's feels like everybody has those days or moments of like, the way I would describe it is like super unmotivated, super lost in identity, being one of the things, super lost in, even on a short term level, you know, like what do I want to do? What does the rest of my day look like? For me, it was always more anxiety wise. There was like a time where, right around like when I started, 2014, 2015, where I was like, damn, like I'm getting like some crazy anxiety for like really short bouts of like 30 minutes to an hour, where like I felt like the school was the weight of the world on me, on top of football. I had like all this homework to do, and the only thing I could think of, or you know, like I had all these things that I could have done, like I could have started on all these different assignments or whatever, and the only thing I wanted to do was nothing. Like it like paralyzed me from going after any of it. It was crazy, and I really didn't like it.
Yeah, I do know. Like I don't deal with like anxiety as an issue so much myself, but I do know that that is a pretty common response from some of the stuff I've read, is when you feel like you have a shit ton of stuff to do, like you just want to respond by just doing absolutely nothing.
Dude, I remember one day in particular was just, it was just like this, And these, I probably got like maybe five of these like half hour periods of time. So I'm talking like, again, like I barely have experienced any, I've experienced probably much less anxiety and depression than most people. I have had a very happy life basically my whole life. I've gone through almost no tragedy. I've lost basically no one in my family. I've had an insanely good
life. I love you like bringing up that point, because I have too. Like I raved about my childhood last episode. You know, like I have had an amazing life up to this point. And the fact that I was depressed just made me feel like more shitty about myself, because I knew I had it better than 99.9% of the people on this planet. And I've had a phenomenal life. And the fact that I was depressed, like I've kind of felt like I don't even have, right? I didn't feel like I had a right to be depressed, you know?
Right. Right.
I mean, I got chopped up a little bit growing up. Mine wasn't exactly smooth sailing, necessarily, but I also felt the exact same type of guilt that you were talking about, Kevin. And I actually discussed that with a psychologist, that I was like feeling so guilty for having things that I didn't feel like I deserved or that I earned. When I was actually supposed to be kind of like upset and feeling like I should be, you know, getting things, but I was feeling like bad that I even had things that I didn't deserve. So I definitely know what you felt there.
And and just, you know, talking with you guys about this, and, you know, and just in hindsight, you know, is I should have done a much better job of reaching out than I did. I just kind of tried to grit through it and like figure it out myself.
We all do.
I know it's just a huge mistake, man, because I know it's a very common thing that athletes across all different types of sports go through, man.
I was going to say, the problem with it being like, because people in all areas of life, all, you know, all industries experience depression. I mean, it's worldwide.
They say athletes die, every athlete dies twice, man. And at the time, nothing felt more true.
Right. Dude, it literally feels like you die.
Well, here's what I'm saying is, like, as an athlete specifically, in this kind of, coming from this kind of background, as an athlete, you think you're tough as fuck. I mean, it's like being an athlete, that once this depression thing hits, it's like you're not set up well to handle this situation, because your immediate response is going to be, I'm tougher than this. I can beat this. Mm. This, I mean, and you just hear about it, like, you know, from everyone else. And I remember thinking to myself, like, just don't be sad. Like the ignorance of never going through it, you, it's just so confusing, because you're like, do something that makes you happy. It's just not that simple. And as an athlete, you just are equipped to battle it one way, and that's head on. 23B, you and depression meeting in the fucking egg.
Shout out, man.
Maybe you win that battle some days. It's a daily thing, I think, for the people who really have it. And other days you don't win. And that's scary, to be taking it all head on like that.
Unfortunately, there's some days you can't win no matter what.
Yeah, and so I'm glad you brought up the therapist or psychologist, Drake Carmen.
Shout out to Carmen Tebby. She is truly an angel.
Yeah. So I love this move. I don't know who did it. I guess we always had one, maybe, but Carmen was the new one. I, as your friend, Drake, knowing you, I kind of probably always figured that you were going to need some help. and so when Carmen, you know, and for those listening, she was basically introduced to us at our last couple of years as our sports psychologist for the team. She was around all the time. When she was kind of given to us as a resource. I was very happy to see you go and talk to her. just because I know, like you said, you didn't exactly grow up. I mean, you had it better than a lot of people, but
man, I had it better than 99.9, right. Like Kevin said.
Right. But a little less than me and Kevin actually did, just because of some, not necessarily your environment, but just some situations and some life events that have happened in your life.
True.
And so, and pairing that with just who you are as a person, you know, you're kind of a quick switch. You just are.
Yep. Always have.
And just, you know, you more than some others were more of a recipe for maybe going down the wrong path if something, you know, didn't go right. And so yeah. that was good. I was glad that you took advantage of her. I'm curious to know what you thought of that experience, not just Carmen as specifically, but just that industry and
yeah,
if it helped you a lot or how that kind of worked.
Absolutely. I think if you're an athlete that deals with your battles internally and you don't know how to talk to anybody about some of the problems that you're having or some of like the struggles that you don't think other people might be going through, just maybe talk to a sports psychologist because they can really do a lot of help. They know the right questions to ask and they kind of know the right subjects to bring up to make you kind of expose your true feelings to yourself, I guess. And it's pretty cool when you start to realize maybe recognize some feelings within yourself that you didn't know you had. And because you're able to just like express some of your pains that you weren't able to, or some of your doubts and misconceptions about yourself. And yeah, I really think that it's a great tool for somebody who internalizes a lot of their problems rather than letting somebody else try and figure them out for you.
Nice.
Yeah. And you know, again, to my point, I should have done a much better job reaching out. I probably should have talked to Carmen at some point. And this is by no means only applies to athletes. Like people, if you need help, reach out, talk to someone.
Oh yeah, for sure. I even considered, because Carmen came in and did team wide stuff. So you were able to go see her by herself, but she would come in and do like, not so much on the depression or anxiety. Well, no, it was on anxiety.
Yeah, performance anxiety was a big one.
She came in and helped the whole team with performance anxiety. And as a specialist who you kind of live and die by having to be perfect, I think that's one area as a specialist where things are a little heightened because you're so under a microscope. All of you listening, if it wasn't for me being kind of an outgoing D-bag who started his own podcast with his friends and one play versus Ohio State, you guys probably wouldn't know who I was,
which is the best thing ever
because I did my job. I was basically perfect in college, which is what you're expected to be as a long snapper, and you're expected to be pretty close as a punter and kicker. And you know, if I wish you guys knew the line I rode of, you know, a little, you know, a centimeter off of finger flick here and there, and those balls are going all over the place. And it sounds bad. I made it look pretty easy for how actually not easy it was. And that gave me that's where a lot of my anxiety came from. And so Carmen would come in and I loved what she did with us. She did some awesome exercises, a bunch of stuff. But then you were able to go see her by yourself as well. And I honestly kind of regret not going to her, not about anything depression related, but just for more of the performance anxiety stuff. But I mean, it worked out, but it was whatever. I think especially for someone who has that resource for free, probably didn't take advantage of it like I should have.
Can I ask y'all a question?
Go ahead.
How did y'all feel watching your first game in Kinnick back in the stands?
pretty horrible, to be honest. I mean, I don't really have any other way to put it besides horrible.
Not horrible. Not maybe as bad as you guys are, I guess, felt. I definitely was emotional for sure.
I got so hammered the night before the first game that I couldn't even go to the game. That's how bad I was. That's how big of a mess I was, is that I was out there binge drinking too hard that I couldn't even
Drake. That night before was a good time, okay?
It was amazing. I mean, we did it right.
But no, like, I remember my favorite part of pregame was always the Niall Kinnick speech, and that was a time where I'd really just take a deep breath, look up in the sky, and just, you know, think about how blessed I am to be playing this game instead of, you know, doing a bunch of, you know,
dropping freedom bombs on communists.
You know, like he says in the speech, you know, playing football on the gridirons of the Midwest instead of fighting on the battlefields of Europe. Just think about how blessed I was to have the privilege to be able to play this game in this environment with these guys by my side. And, you know, that was one thing. Like, it hit me like a fucking rock when the first time I wasn't on the sidelines standing there, you know, ready to go to war with my buddies. And instead I'm in the stands, and, you know, I damn near broke down at that point.
Yeah, I was, I cried when they, one of my favorite parts about the whole day in Kinnick when we had those precious opportunities was, as a kid, I really connected, and for some reason was just, I mean, I think everybody does, but me especially, when they bust open the doors and there's KF and the seniors.
It's so sick.
And you first see, and it's in black, back in black's already playing, and they start to roll down the tunnel. Dude, I have fucking goosebumps right now.
I'm about to go upstairs and grab my helmet real quick. I'm about to do the rest of my this podcast with my helmet.
God, I'm soft, but when I told a different kind of perspective. I'm going to mention kind of the same stuff for a second in the episode titled Senior Day Emotions. But man, when I first saw the, you know, it's not our team anymore. As seniors, you're told it's your team. I mean, you take so much responsibility for it, and it's like literally your baby. It's your whole life. I mean, you guys know, you've heard us talk about it. And man, when I'm just a guy sitting in the stands now, first game back, and I see the new seniors who it's now their team, and it's guys that we were, you know, we bred them, and you know, that's us inside of them. They have us in them. You hope that they take on like what you tried to pass.
Pause. That sounded horrible.
Okay, Drake, you fucking bastard.
I mean, it did, dude. Let's just take a pause there for a second.
Anyway, back to it. Like, I was just like, damn, like, go get it, boys. I can't do anything else right now, but it's your team now. Go fucking get it, because I wish I was there with you. And I cried when they swarmed. I teared up. And, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed watching the game. This may come as a shock to some people, but I played Division One football, and I'm really not a massive football fan, more than I am like a college basketball fan or anything else. Like, I'm just, I mean, I love the Hawks. I'll always watch the Hawkeye football games, but if I miss the fucking primetime game on Saturday night college football, I'm not too upset about it. Like, it's just, that's just who I am. But man, yeah, it was tough. It wasn't. I would love to hear what you guys thought, I guess, because you guys made it sound like.
I mean,
my emotions. I was just really sad that I was no longer a football player. Like, I was still all up in my feelings at that point in my life. There wasn't really that many great days that went by, I would say. So it wasn't like. going to Kinnick made it any worse. It was just like, great, now I got to go be reminded that I don't play football anymore. Let me go walk in the stadium and nobody even remember who I am again. Like, it felt so good when you were a somebody and then you're so immediately an absolute nobody again that it feels like really shitty really quick.
Yeah. I caught myself, and this is – I'm extremely naturally I tend like my inner personality wants me to be so self-centered. I mean, I think everyone does to some extent, but I would consider myself, if I let it manifest, a very self-centered person. And so that's one thing that just in life in general, I try to work on a lot. I found myself sitting there just hoping that someone would ask me something just to somehow I could bring up that I played on the team last year. Like, I was just hoping that I could talk about it to somebody I just finished playing and it did happen a couple times. And I was like, that's the only thing that made me feel good is it's like letting someone know who I don't even give a shit about, just some random, other than like, thanks for being a Hawk fan, but on a personal level, no idea who you are, but it just ask me what I'm doing here, why I know so much, why I talk about the game, because I just want to tell you that I played last year and like maybe let you know that I'm the Polecat and like, hey, look at me.
So fans, if you see a short little Jack dude walking around in
with a terrible hairline. if it's a normal short, he's Jack dude that's got a nice haircut, not Kluber.
I don't know. Please don't. I'm over it. I'm way over it now. More so than I was, but that's what I felt that first game. Kind of wild, crazy.
Yeah. So, I guess I kind of get back into how I got to where I am right now.
This might be a 2-part episode.
Nah, fuck it. We're finishing this bitch tonight.
No, I mean like it might go long enough to where I just break it.
Nah, we got a good flow going here, man. Let's just keep it rolling.
Kev, you got to talk a little closer to your mic, I think.
Anyway, so yeah, back to it. It took me a while to figure out, what's going to drive me forward. And to be honest, I didn't really start feeling like myself until several months ago. But I think I pretty much got a good grip and, realized what my main motivation was in football. And, there's this interesting discussion in sports psychology about internal versus external motivation, internal being like the simple will to win and, be great versus external being like all the hype around it, like the cash, the trophies, the Instagram followers, whatever. And, it's usually regarded as, that the internally motivated athletes would be more successful. When I really started to think about it, the reason I came to work my ass off every day was to be honest, it was because of you guys. It's because of my teammates. There's literally no better feeling than celebrating a win in the locker room with your teammates who you've been busting your ass with all year long. I started to think about it. I would have been a terrible individual athlete. Like, I'd been a shitty golfer, tennis player, swimmer, whatever, because that's just something you don't get as an individual athlete.
Yeah, actually, I see that in you. Like, if you were, you would be a psych. I mean, you were already a psycho, but you would be an extreme psych. Like, if you were a wrestler, holy shit, that'd be scary.
Finally, somebody besides me gets called a psycho on this show.
Drake, I've never denied being a psycho. You know that.
You also always
embraced it. I loved it.
You also mentioned me in the same sentence as Jeffrey Dahmer. So,
yeah, honestly, that was one of my better ones. Like, that was pretty quick-witted, and I knew it stung, so it got everything.
I mean, the guys on the team kind of knew I was a psycho, too. Jaros called me Psych Ward for the longest time.
Yeah, Psych Ward. I mean, it's a perfect nickname, dude. Yeah, Psych Ward.
It works. Whatever. I kind of apply that motivation to my life now, and sometimes, I take it for granted, but I look back and realize how amazing of a life I've had so far from everything I've been able to accomplish. And it's because of basically the people I've had in my life. So, I mean, they say you're a product of your environment. And, I think you know, I think about, you know, my dad's owns a successful business. My mom was an elected city councilwoman. Both my brothers were high school All-Americans. Pat was a class valedictorian. Both are going to med school this fall. Two of my roommates in college are in the NFL. Basically, all of us that lived on Bend Street were central leaders of the team.
Two of them are podcasters.
Shout out to us.
And when you surround yourself with people like that, I truly believe it's impossible to fail. And I really owe all the success I have to like the people in my life. I was talking to Coach Doyle actually one time after. So like he does like interviews with his interns after after the internship's up. And, you know, I started talking about like, you know, having doubts about continuing in the field and, you know, what I'm going to do from here. And, you know, he told me something I'll literally never forget. And he told me, you have no idea how lucky you are to grow up under your circumstances. And I'm not talking about like income or how well off your family is. I'm talking about the fact that you were extremely lucky to be raised in the environment that you were. You have very successful, hardworking parents, a dad who played Big Ten football, two older brothers who set an amazing example for you and played Big Ten football. You know, that's an upbringing that money can't buy. And you, and to your credit, you know, you haven't wasted it. You're going to be successful in anything you want to be because of who you are and how you're raised. And, you know, after you told me that.
Those are some insane words from Doyle, dude. That
and
had
now you're like not, dude. I wanted to cry and hug the man right there, but we're in.
Yeah, look at you. You're fucking Dr. Ward now, telling us about tuberosities and shit.
Kluber, you're an asshole.
No, and I started thinking about that, and, you know, like it just makes me want to give back to like all the people and that I've owed my successful my success to at this point in my life. So basically, that's what drives me these days. You know, I work my ass off to make sure that I can give back. I think about the awesome childhood that I had. I talked about in the last episode. I feel like I owe any future family I might have to give them a better childhood than I had. You know, which is going to be damn hard because, like I said,
that's going to be tough.
That's going to be tough to beat, dude. Your old pops set some high standards.
My mom and dad set the bar pretty damn high, but
you might have to start robbing banks.
Well, you can't do the mom part. You can only do the dad part.
I know, but you know, just like the saying goes, you know, you leave the.
Kevin's got some big boobs.
Chill, dude. But you know, like just like the saying goes, like you leave the jersey in a better place. That's something we preached our senior year, and you know, you can. Yeah, yeah. I feel like everyone should be able to apply to their life. You know, you want to give your kids a better upbringing than you had, no matter where the bar was set. You know, and I feel like it. I also think about how blessed I've been in my life. I feel like it's my job to give back to those who've had it a lot harder than me, you know? So, I mean, that's why we're giving away like a third of our t-shirt profits to the Children's Hospital.
Once they come out.
If they come out.
But when they do come out, that's I don't think we've told anybody yet. You can drop that on them.
And if the university lets us sell them, we are giving away one third of the profits to the Children's Hospital.
Yeah, it's 35%. It is exactly 35% of all net profit is going directly to the Children's Hospital via the Washed Up Walk-Ons, via your guys' merchandise purchases of Hawks by a Million gear, etc. So hopefully that gives you guys more incentive to support us, support the Hawks, support the Children's Hospital, and buy our merch whenever it comes out because it's badass.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey,
Hey there, want to pop in just a quick second. This is Tyler from 2021. We'll get back to the action in a second. I hope you guys are enjoying the episode. I wanted to pop in just because of the merchandise mentioned there that we've been plugging our merch clearly since 2019, and we will continue to do so just because it does give back to the Children's Hospital. We've become more philanthropic, I guess, since 2019. Now 50% of the proceeds of the profit go to the Children's Hospital. So not 35%, 50%. And it's funny how this works out, but in this episode, as it comes out today on Thursday, July 1st, we are opening a new store, a new merch store tomorrow, Friday the 2nd, that will have some new Hawks by a Million gear, as well as a new Tight End U shirt that caught a little bit of fire on Twitter. I think a lot of you will enjoy that. So as you're listening to this, be on the lookout. Go to my Twitter, at Tyler Kluver, or the Wash Up Walk-On's Twitter. You will see us tweeting about the merch. If it is out, it should be out no later than Friday morning at 9 a.m., and we would love if you would go and support. That helps us continue to make the show. It helps the Children's Hospital, as always, and you get some sweet gear. So if you're interested in that, check that out. Otherwise, we will go back into our episode from 2 years ago.
A little shameless plug there to buy our merch, but anyway, it goes for a good cause.
Yeah.
You know,
you're honestly the GOAT for sneaking that in there somehow.
You know, I've actually also signed up for this charity in Decathlon Chicago this summer. And I set a goal of raising $10,000 for pediatric cancer research, and
I gave him 69.
Drake was my first donation. He gave me $69 just to be funny and not to be outdone. Bo gave $70 just to say fuck you to Drake.
That's incredible.
What a fucking Bauer move of all families.
Which, by the way, I don't know if you guys have seen, Bo got a truck camper. He put a camper.
Yeah, we're taking it to KC.
Dude, that thing is sick. And shout out Bo Bauer. He's going to be on the podcast in a couple weeks. So,
yeah. So, you know, I'm actually going to plug my donation page here real quick, guys. You know, actually, if everyone who listens to this podcast just gave a dollar, I'd actually hit my goal by the end of the week, possibly. And, you know, I'll make sure to thank each and every one of you. Like, even if I have to thank 10,000 people for $1, I'll personally write you an email, say thank you so much. Literally, guys, anything helps. So the deal with this charity is, like, you can donate like a flat amount to my page, or you can donate like towards a specific event. Like, it's a decathlon. There's 10 events. And you know, the donation fluctuates based on how I perform in the decathlon. But yeah, so it's for pediatric cancer. You know, I mean, that's something that kind of hit home for me after visiting the kids in the Children's Hospital and the wave and everything like that. The link to my donation page is pinned on my Twitter account at kwardy26, or you can go to thed10.com, click on the donate tab, and like search for my name, Kevin Ward, to get to my page. They've been doing this thing for like almost 10 years now. It's a great cause, and you know, I'm going to train my ass off because I'm trying to win the thing. And you know, it'd mean a hell of a lot more to me if Walk On Nation could come out and, you know, help with the donation and help with the charity raising aspect. So, like, seriously, guys, anything you guys could donate would be so greatly appreciated, man. Because, like I said, I'm literally just trying to give back in every way I possibly can. I've put a decent amount of my own money into this thing. So, you guys are always welcome to hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, anything, any questions with that. And kind of to go along with the theme of the podcast earlier, anybody's out there struggling, like, seriously, feel free to hit me up. I'm always willing to talk to people I want to.
Yeah. The good segue back into that as we, I guess, wrap up here. I mean, we not necessarily have to wrap it up. I want to see, I have a couple questions written down, not questions, but kind of points to make. I guess as you brought it back to the whole depression, anxiety kind of topic that we've covered. So, I mean, you kind of talked about it. You found what motivates you now, and that's, you know, doing it for others, giving back to the people who gave you this. Would you say, I guess you don't have to answer the question, but either of you, I assume, are in a much better place now than you were.
It's night and day, man.
Yeah. I guess what were some of the main things, aside from what Kevin already mentioned, that helped you guys through the, you know, through just when it hit on a certain day and it was just like, what do I do to get out of this right now? What has helped you guys long term over the past year or more to kind of gradually just up your baseline level of happiness? I think that would be, if one person listens to this and gets something out of it because you guys gave them a strategy or some way to work out of a bad day, I think it's worth it. You guys have any fucking cookies in the cookie jar for that? Or
yeah, so
man, I don't know. I don't know if I have anything.
Yeah, for me, one of the big things was obviously starting my job. I saw someone out there wasn't sure what my job title was, and it kind of pissed that we got cut off before we got to it last week. I am a sales representative for Stryker Orthopedics, by the way.
It's Dr. Ward.
It's not Dr. Ward. I am not a doctor. Please do not refer to me as a doctor, because those guys are 50 million times smarter than I will ever be.
And he's about to be the only brother that isn't
Tuffy. But anyway, yeah, what were you saying?
Just getting that job was huge for me, because I wasn't doing a whole lot every day, and I'm not someone that does very well with very little to do. I like to be busy. I like to be productive and, you know, getting things done. But, you know, making money doesn't mean happiness. So that making money wasn't a purpose for me. It was still something I had to figure out, and how I figured that out, man, like, to be honest, just, you know, I think I had to think back, and, you know, like I said earlier, just think back to like what drove me to work so hard back in like those workouts with, you know, back in practices, what drove me to become a walk-on from a captain is, you know, it's because of how much I loved my teammates and how much I loved the people around me and the people that helped me succeed and the ability to give back to them. So, you know, just find your motivation, find what drives you in this life, whether it be your family, whether it be your own personal goals, whatever it is, if you want to, I mean, it could be anything really. I mean, that'd be my best advice. I don't know if Drake, you've got something else.
Man, I guess that the point you made about the good people, I think that's one of the main things that helped me through all of my tough times, was just having a great support system. And so if you're one of those people that are like me, that get stuck inside yourself and get stuck inside your own sorrows and kind of isolate yourself during those times, hold your loved ones tight, and, you know, a hug can be some great medicine. And you just spend time with the people you know love you, and that can really help you a lot.
I think a big one for me on a super basic level, and I think you guys would probably agree, is, I mean, if you're not feeling it, like you're feeling off on a day, or I mean, if you're suffering from depression and you're listening to this and you don't exercise, go try some exercise.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Like I am a very in my head person. I think all three of us probably are,
very much so.
And man, I overthink everything, every situation of every little, I'm always in my head, and I like it most of the time, but when it gets annoying, which is every so often, just going black in the head and just driving after some squats or whatever you got to do, tire flips, prowler pushes, as much shit as Drake is going to continue to give me about me talking about prowler pushes on Twitter. If that's what gets you out of your own head and just, you know, gets you more into your physical body. And I'm telling you, exercise, I'm no doctor, Kevin is, but
not a doctor.
exercise releases endorphins and a lot of things that it just naturally makes you feel better, and your body needs exercise. I think from a lot of the, I listen to Rogan a lot, and a lot of the people that come on there talk about how just exercising, getting out and moving 30 minutes a day. I text you guys the other day. I was like, yo, I stepped out to get the mail and the sunlight made me so happy. It flipped my whole mood. Like go get some sun, mm-hmm. Go do yoga.
My dog has it right. When I'm upstairs in the main floor, he will not allow me to to not let him outside. Like he will persistently be at the door just so that he can go outside and bake in the sun. And it is all day. As long as the sun is on the east side of the house, he is laying in the dirt in the front yard because he's sunbathing.
And I know that because you take
every day.
It's funny as fuck.
Dude, he is so cute. I can't help it, man. I love him so much.
And boss is probably happy as fuck.
Dude, he loves his life. He lives the best life ever. He gets hamburger in his food every night because he eats this prescription food that's really healthy on his GI tract. So then I add a little protein. I always dry off the fat. That can be a little tough on his tummy. But I always dry off the fat, give him the hamburger in there. He loves it. Yeah. He's got a good life.
Yeah, he does. But, Clive, I love the point about exercise and sunlight. It is seriously the best antidepressant for me. I mean, I love working out just in general, but I feel so much better after getting a sweat on or getting a tough workout and getting the heart pumping a little bit. And, it's therapeutic. It's an hour or so that just pop some music on, and you just don't worry about anything else and trying to breathe,
Yeah, dude. It's
yes.
I mean, you can't.
I work out every day. Days more intense than others, but like Sunday, I'll just go for like a walk outside. But like you said, like the sunlight, dude, that helps too. Just going for a walk outside. Just going for a stroll.
Simple stuff, man. Like, the body and the brain are interconnected. And if your body isn't in a good spot, you don't even have to exercise. If you're sedentary right now, try stretching. Just stretch for 15 minutes a day. I bet you'll be a happier person. It's that easy. Like it's that simple shit.
And then
drink more water.
Like, squeeze your glutes. It makes your back feel better.
Set your core.
And then another big thing is just, count your blessings, I think the vast majority of these people, the people listening to this podcast, can count some blessings that they have, and just be thankful for what you got in life.
I have a couple more kind of two more things. So to kind of close in on this, I guess one more big thing is, our situation is basically coming from that student athlete perspective and wrapping it back around to that. We talked about Carmen and her being there for us. How do you think Iowa handled mental health while we were there? And do you think that universities and should do more in general, or, what can be done? Maybe even just inside the program, it doesn't even have to be the university. Should programs be focusing on it more? I read a stat that 25, basically one quarter of college athletes experience significant levels of significant enough levels of depression during their playing time. That's not even after, like when they may have to go through that identity crisis. That's just during their playing time. And that could be a whole nother podcast about why you would be depressed during your playing days. But like a quarter, there's like a study done on like 460 people, and like 115 of them, 128 of them or something, were like experienced significant depression. 7% experienced like clinical, like serious depression where they needed medication. So like, I don't know what can a university do? What can a program do to I guess it's just an open-ended
question. Yeah. I think Carmen did a great job of making absolute sure that everyone on the team know that she was available. And then, you know, the coaches obviously had her come in and do group sessions from time to time. I thought that was very beneficial. I don't know. I felt like maybe we did a good job at Iowa. I don't know what other programs do as far as mental health and psychologists and stuff like that. Drake, you actually used Carmen, or I wouldn't say you, Carmen.
You
went to see Carmen and talk with her.
I used her as a tool. Yes. Wow. Does that still sound terrible?
I think there's some words.
I don't know.
They get what you're saying.
Whatever. You know what? Yeah, I utilized Carmen's expertise. There we go. How's that? Yes, I did. And I think that Iowa had to have been basically at the cutting edge of players' mental health, because I know Coach Ferentz always had meetings with us to kind of gauge where we were at as from a player standpoint, how we were feeling. He can obviously get a really good hot and cold feel through a player's bullshit. He's dealt with guys long enough. And then you also have meetings with your position coaches, and Doyle's really hands-on, and the strength staff and everything. And it's a real family environment. So I think that really helps players' mental health from the jump. And then it stops anybody from getting too out of hand, because I do think that the coaches would be able to catch it. And then if things do kind of get out of hand, Carmen is there as
safety net,
however I described
an expert
her service. Yes. It's great to have an expert help there, but I think Iowa is about as good as it gets.
I thought so too, honestly. The two things that came to my mind while y'all were talking were, I think, and you mentioned it, I think the big man up top mentioning it, KF, actually talking about it and bringing it up multiple times.
And acknowledging that it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Not just a real thing, it's a prevalent issue. I think when the top of the program lets you know that it's okay, even though everyone knows it's okay, it's just like, it's just that subconscious, you want to be told that it's normal, it's okay. The big man up top and the leaders of the program being proactive with it definitely helps. And then the other one was, I think maybe bringing in and looking for like speakers on the subject that have played in sports. I know we had we had people come in and talk all the time.
Can I just hop in here, Kloof?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that as far as athletes go, you know, having someone who was or is an athlete talk about it makes it so much more impactful. Because I think as a society, we are doing a better job of ending the stigma towards, you know, mental health. But at the same point, like, athletes, I wouldn't say are taught so much, but, you know, just kind of have this preconceived notion that they should be tougher mentally and be above that kind of stuff. But, you know, we had a guy in our class, you know, Sean Welsh, actually did a press conference about, you know, his battle with depression. And, you know, we were extremely proud of him to do that. And for him to come out and say what his experience was, you know, very powerful and moving thing for him to do. And, you know,
that took some
seriously, guts. You know, and KF was so proud and so supportive of him for doing that. So I think, you know, having guys be able to speak up about, you know, it's okay. You know, we're supposed to be the big badass guys on campus, but it's still okay. You know, like, guys, you're going to go through some stuff at some point in your life, and it's okay to talk to people about that.
Yeah, man. We went deep.
What a cool episode, man.
We went deep.
So much different than just talking about X's and O's of football.
Well, podcast listeners, you know, it wasn't your normal episode with us three just bantering around and bullshitting on each other. But I think I really hope you guys enjoyed it. I think it was a very important discussion.
These guys are.
And I hope this is something that can be shown around to people who might need it.
Spread it everywhere.
Somebody that might need to hear some of this stuff, show it to them, because it can do nothing but help.
I know a lot of you have contacted me.
in college, in high school, people who are listening to this. So you're the same age as us, basically. I mean, it's just, you're going through the same shit. And if this helps y'all out, or maybe you have a friend, family member, just show it to them. I think three guys who have lived that big, bad D1 football life and can talk about this openly, I think it could be really helpful. And I said it last week, this could, I feel like in a way, I think a lot of listeners might be sitting back like in their seats right now, like, holy shit, these guys don't just talk about football. They actually
these guys are actually literate.
Like, we knew they're fucked up, but they're like fucked up, fucked up.
They're fucked up, fucked up.
and they have real thoughts, and they can articulate words and sentences that make sense on a higher intellectual level. I gotta be honest, I think it's maybe more of our stride. I just don't know how many topics we're gonna come across like this one, but man, this one flowed easy. I mean, we just went past 80 minutes and we could talk forever. I mean, you guys got anything else you want to talk about right now? It's 10:22. I could really go for some food right now, but I'm on that whole intermittent fasting thing.
Yeah, boys, I got to wake up in about five and a half hours, so I think we should wrap this one on up.
Oh, yeah, you're a psycho, right? Absolutely. That's it, guys. I mean, we basically said it all. Once again, if you made it this far, which hopefully you did, because this was quite the episode. You know, share us, rate us, review us, helps. We appreciate any and all support on any level, even just a DM on Twitter. You guys still DM me about things all the time, and I feel nuts, because, and I'm sure Kevin and Drake, y'all get DMs too.
I'm not near as good at the whole Twitter thing as you are. When I hop on there, I honestly don't follow that many people. And when I hop on there, I see if you said something so I can troll you.
Yeah, any good shit that you put on Twitter is born out of I
take and Kluver, you know, we shit on you on Twitter, but I gotta give it to you, man. You take it like a champ.
Like a champ.
Well, I mean, I've been doing it for 5 years, and you get used to it. And also, on a serious level, I guess I'm not going to go back into some other big topic, but in the end, like, I don't give a fuck. I mean, I do care what you guys think of me, but I know what you guys think of me, and like, people who don't matter to me, I don't care what they say about what I post or anything like that. So, but yeah, like I said, guys, like us, share us, helps us out in any way. Man, tonight was good.
We hope killed you all it. Enjoyed it.
That wraps up our flashback from 2 years ago, over 2 years ago, talking about mental health. I hope my plans are, you guys know that I kind of direct this show idea wise, but Kevin and Drake, they like to take it in their own directions. I hope that they are in line and are cool with maybe doing a follow-up episode to this episode, because I think it would be interesting to hear our perspectives and how they've changed, and maybe some new ideas, some new ways to deal with, you know, post-athletic life, now 2 years even removed from this episode. So again, hope you enjoyed this kind of flashback, relive episode 28. And if it helped, we're so happy that we could maybe, you know, shed light, because this is a depression and identity, and it's a real thing. And a lot of people, I feel like probably everybody goes through some sort of emotions and feelings within them, that something can be related to this podcast. So we're here to help. We just want to be cool and entertain and put smiles on people's faces, and we hope that we continue to do that. As always, if you want to support, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast. You can go and check out that merch that we have going either right now or tomorrow on Friday, the July 2nd. You can also support on Patreon, patreon.com/washedupwalkons. You're going to get early access to episodes. You're going to get every once in a while an episode that the public does not get. You get the roster series access where we break down every single guy on the roster, including the incoming freshman class and who may be contributing this fall. You get the YouTube release immediately when episodes come out. You get discounts off merch. You get an opportunity to buy exclusive merchandise that's only available to the Patreon. And then just in general, you get to support us as we continue to make this podcast, create this content. 50% of everything on the Patreon, similar to the merchandise, goes to the Children's Hospital as well. And now the NIL is a thing, and we joked in the episode previous to this, now the Patreon money, you know, that's all Washed Up Walk-On's funds, that is going to eventually help a walk-on athlete at the University of Iowa, you know, strike a deal with us as our sponsored athlete, whatever we come up with for a partnership with those guys. We're super excited to get into that space. It's so crazy what the NIL is going to allow for opportunities. So again, episode 228, we thank you so much for being a part of the Walk-On Army. And we love you guys. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.